Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be together today for worship, whether you're worshiping online or here in the space. Thanks for being here. We continue in our season of Advent, a time of waiting, a time of getting ready. I want to draw your attention just to a couple of things. Today, after worship, we'll be downstairs for fellowship time, and a bake sale from AVWM will be having their annual bake sale, and they use the proceeds of that sale to support good work locally within our nation and globally. So we invite you to come and buy up all the cookies and the brownies and all the good things. I know Piper's excited. She said, we're going to the bake sale, right, Mom? Yes, we're going to the bake sale. So that's downstairs in the kind of lobby space between the Memorial Lounge and the Fellowship Hall. The Fellowship Hall is, we're still hosting the overnight rotating shelter. Our last night of that is tonight. We've got the Pioneer football team coming this afternoon to make dinner for them. So lots of things going on in the space. And Rick will tell you about adult formation that's happening in the Memorial Lounge after the bake sale. But so thanks for being flexible about having things happening in different spaces than we're used to. We're working on making a lot of hospitality happen. Please note the Christmas Eve services in your announcement section of your bulletin. That's coming right up. We have our 4 o'clock service, a nativity story. The children's choir will be singing for that. Michelle and Charlie and the kids have been working hard to prepare. And then we have our 7:30 lessons and carols. Is this the 50th year of that? Is that what I... Yeah. And the choir, Bonnie, Shanae, all have been working hard for that service to be able to celebrate the mystery of Christmas. So we hope that you will join us for those services and invite folks to join you. I want to also note that we are offering the opportunity to buy a poinsettia and have a poinsettia here for our Christmas Eve services and Advent 4. In honor of somebody or in memory of someone, there's a hard copy form in your bulletin announcement section. You can also go online and note that you would like to have a poinsettia in honor of somebody. So check that out. All right, those are all my announcements. Rick.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to this worship service of the First Baptist Church or somewhere, Ann Arbor, Michigan. I have to go through my whole index to get to where I am currently. Ann Arbor, Michigan, glad to have you in the sanctuary this morning, as well as those of you who are watching online. I want to add to, just piggyback, I don't know how you people feel about clapping in church, but all week I've had this sense of gratitude for the people who have been here to ensure the shelter overnight. It's a wonderful thing that we do here, and I think it needs to be honored and appreciated. So thank you to Kevin's not here, but Kevin and Zan and everybody who's been part of the overnight shelter, walking our talk, as I say in the vernacular. Our adult formation for the next couple of weeks will be today. We're going to be looking at sort of the origins and meaning of Advent, look at some of the how the traditions came to be, and do some work on our own sense of Advent time, Advent preparation. And then next week we'll be focused on Advent poetry. It's a reprise of a little workshop, our adult formation class, a poet and I did at Old Cambridge Baptist Church. There's really some wonderful poetry for Advent, and Rolf has sent me some stuff that the poetry group here has used before. So on the 15th, we'll be looking at Advent poetry. And then on the 22nd, here in the sanctuary, we'll be doing a carol sing from 11:30 to 12:10. Bonnie and Shanae are going to lead that. So have some good stuff that's coming up for Advent. Welcome.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. Arise, O people of God, stand upon the height. From the east and the west, we have gathered at the word of the Holy One. Praise God, who has ordered every high mountain and the everlasting hills to be made low, and the valleys filled up. For God leads us with joy in the light of God's glory, with mercy and righteousness. Let us worship God with joy. Let us worship and sing praise. Please stand as you are able, in body or in spirit. Let us pray. Creator God, we are thankful for the opportunity to gather in your name at every season. As we gather now in this time of Advent, let us be especially aware of your presence as God with us. Let us pause our busy preparations and wait with minds and hearts open to receive and act upon your message of hope, peace, joy, and love. Amen.
the candle of hope. Today we light the second candle, the candle of peace. We light it knowing full well that peace is elusive, and in some parts of the world it is almost completely absent. Yet in this season of Advent, we trust that God is never absent from us. God is always preparing something new. And even where there is war and discord, whether between countries, within families, or within our own hearts, God is present, gently leading us to new possibilities.
Loving God, in this time of preparation and planning, we thank you for the hope and peace you unfailingly offer us. Show us the creative power of hope.
Teach us the peace that comes from justice.
Prepare our hearts to be transformed by you, that we may walk in the light of Christ.
Amen.
Thinking here at church a lot about homes. What does it mean to have a home? What does it mean to make our church feel like a good church home? What does it look like to make our fellowship hall and our hospitality be a good home for people who don't have one? We've been thinking a lot about homes. We've been gathering food and money. Today's the last day for kids who don't have enough food when school's not happening, for the High Cone community. We've been doing a lot of thinking about how do we help be a home. So I want to share a story with you from when I was a kid. It was one of my favorites, and if I could have a recording of my dad reading it, I would, but I'll try to do my best. Can you tell it's an old book? Yeah. Can you tell that I put little markers, because we're not going to read the whole story today because it's a very long story, but I can send it to church school if you want to look at it later. So you'll see we're going to skip a couple pages. But this story is called A House is a House for Me by Marianne Hoberman. That's who did the words. And the illustrations, which are fabulous, are by Betty Frazier. Are you ready? A childhood favorite. A house is a house for me. A hill is a house for an ant. A hive is a house for a bee. A hole is a house for a mole or a mouse. And a house is a house for me. A web is a house for a spider. A bird builds its nest in a tree. There is nothing so snug as a bug in a rug. And a house is a house for me. Finnegan, do you want to sit here so you can see the pictures really well? Yeah, so you can see the pictures. A coop, that's a house for a chicken. A sty, that's a house for a sow. A fold, that's where sheep all gather to sleep. A barn, well, that's a house for a cow. It's also, of course, a house for a horse. A husk is a house for a corn ear. A pod is a place for a pea. A nutshell is a hut for a hickory nut. But what is a shelter for me? A glove is a house for a hand, a hand. A stocking is a house for a knee. A shoe or a boot is a house for a foot, a foot. And a house is a house for me. All the snow. A box is a house for a tea bag. A teapot's a house for some tea. If you pour me a cup and I drink it all up, then the tea house will turn in to me. Cartons are houses for crackers, and castles are houses for things. The more that I think about houses, the more things are houses for things. And if you get started in thinking, I think you will find it is true that the more that you think about houses for things, the more things are houses to you. The cookie jar is home to the cookies. The bread box is home to the bread. My coat is a house for my body, and my hat is a house for my head. Perhaps I have started far-fetching. Perhaps I am stretching things some. A mirror is a house for reflections. A throat is a house for a hum. But once you get started in thinking, you think and you think and you think. And once you get started in thinking this way, it seems that whatever you see is either a house or it lives in a house. And a house is a house for me. A book is a house for a story. A rose is a house for a smell. My head is a house for a secret I never will tell. A flower's at home in a garden. A donkey's at home in a stall. Each creature that's known has a house of its own. And the earth is a house for us all. Those pictures. We read most of it. There's some pages we left out. But I hope you will look at those later. Do you hear all those ways to be a house or to be in a house? And we know it's really important for everybody to have a real house. And we've been thinking about that. And we've been thinking about maybe what even we are like as a house. Have you thought of yourself as a house?
Yeah.
Maybe we're a house for hope, for what yet could be. Maybe we're a house for peace, for peace. One way to show peace in American Sign Language is like this. Can you do your hands like that? And sometimes peace is making a scene. We've talked about that at church. And sometimes peace is when we need to feel it in our bodies and we take a big deep breath. And it feels more like this word, peace, with our hands. Peace can look all different kinds of ways. But our invitation from God through the life of Jesus, who we're about to celebrate being born, is to be a house of peace. Will you do that with me again? To be a house of welcome, to be a house of hope, and that we would be a house of peace in our very own bodies. Let's do it one more time. God, help us to be a house of peace. Let's do it again. Help us have the peace of Jesus in us. And let's share that peace too. Let's do it one more time to share it too. Help us share peace. Amen. Let's head to church school together.
Let us pray. Zechariah saw God at work and proclaimed God's word for all to hear. May we never cease to recognize you at work in us and in our world, O God. May we always proclaim your presence to all we meet. Zechariah saw God at work in the newborn face of his child. We thank you, God, that you are also at work in us. May we find our voice to speak with compassion for all people and to speak out for the healing of the broken. John went before Jesus to prepare the way. God, use us to prepare the way this Advent season. May your word and work to be done through us. May your word and work be done through us, so that our actions and our words may prepare others to receive your gift. John's life was a moment of light for those who sit in the shadows. God, may we bring hope where there is hurt and hope is lost. And help us to never stop working to bring the light of your love to all we encounter, and to be pacemakers in this world that is so desperately in need of peace. God, you've heard these prayers from my lips. You know that there are prayers deeply buried in our hearts, prayers unspoken, prayers even unacknowledged. And still we know that you are ever present, that you are holding us, that you embrace those prayers, and you walk with us as we make this journey through life. We pray your blessings this morning as we celebrate a season of peace. We know that there is much strife and conflict in the world. We know there are new outbreaks of violence almost daily, war in many places. We pray for peace, and again, that we might be agents of peace, peacemakers. God, we lift up now the names that are listed in our bulletin. We don't all know who they are, but somebody from our community has asked for prayer for these people for a variety of reasons, for healing, for peace, for comfort, for direction in their lives. And so we acknowledge those prayers this morning as we pray for Bob Reynolds, Rob Snyder, Roberta Howes, Mervyn Eucharts, Esther Floyd, Betty Gerstler, Marilyn Marsh, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, John Milburn, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Grange Burnside, John Rowe, and Faye Key. Now let us join together in that prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, saying, Our Mother, Father, God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. This is what's known in more liturgical circles as the Benedictus. This is the word; these are the words that the priest, prophet Zechariah, uttered when his tongue was loosened after the birth of his son, John the Baptist. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Holy One to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Prince of Peace, we celebrate your coming into our world and lives at this time of year, but it is easy for us to forget the ways of peace. In this season, we help our neighbors in need. We give gifts. We share what we have. In this time, refugees are arriving and winter is growing cold. Help us not to forget the calling to follow you and your ways of peace today and in the days ahead. Help us not to forget the hope we feel in this season once the lights and decorations are gone. Be born in us this day, loving Christ. And may your peace prevail in our hearts and in our lives and in our world. Amen. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice! Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. The ancient hymn echoes the word of the more ancient priest and prophet as he exults over the miracle child of his old age, John the Baptizer, who is born to prepare the way for Emmanuel, God with us. With quavering voice, he sings, "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." What a beautiful song. A profound testimony to his deep-seated belief that the God of his ancestors will redeem his people according to the even more ancient covenant, and not only his people, but all who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. The first light of day creeps across the horizon. The daily promise of enlivening light is renewed. And as the light glows faintly in the east, the wind begins to blow, caressing the earth with a gentle breath. It is a phenomenon of nature that light and wind work together in this way. Day dawns and peace blows in, freely given to each and all. The new day presents a clean slate. It is full of promise and is met with great hope. The day is ours, a precious gift from God. What will we make of it? As the sun brightens and the wind picks up, how will it move us along through the day that lies before us? I feel the winds of God today. Today my sail I lift, that hope may light the water's crest. And Christ my bark will use. I'll seek the seas at his behest and brave another cruise. Will this be our song as we awake to greet the new morn and rise to walk with the wind on our wing? So often our days begin like this. We start off with the best of intentions, but the promise of the day is not fulfilled. Sometimes it seems that our lot in life is to find trouble in or bring ruin on a perfectly formed day as it is given to us. The light may shine, but we find ourselves wrestling with the fear of darkness and death. The wind may caress and try to lead us along, but we resist, refusing to dance with her. We insist on going our own way, whatever the cost. The fullness of life is promised by the light and lifted by the wind. Hope, love, peace, joy are revealed in the light and blow in with the wind. We welcome them at first, but then anxieties rise and fear creeps in. The light becomes too bright and we no longer trust the wind. We close our eyes and we turn our backs as despair, apathy, hatred, sorrow, violence, and war grow all around us. And we long for the next new day to come. It's frustrating to talk about peace on days like this, when it seems so far away and utterly unattainable. The angel urges, "Fear not." But that is much easier said than practiced. As our anxieties rise, we build walls, we take up arms against stranger and neighbor alike. We invest obscene amounts of our God-given resource into maintaining massive military machines. We use and abuse the earth, caring little for the intricately woven beauty of creation. The world becomes dark and chaotic, in desperate need of redemption. This is the world, friends, of our advent. Into such a world Christ comes, then and now. We want to say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays or some word of good cheer in what should be a magical, mystical season of the year. But the words too often ring hollow and they stick in our throats. Even Pope Francis, that gentle lover of life and purveyor of compassion, wrestles with the season. In an Advent sermon, he reflects, Christmas is approaching. There will be lights, parties, Christmas trees, and nativity scenes. But he proclaimed, it's all a charade. The world continues to go to war. The world has not chosen a peaceful path. We have not let peace blow in on the crest of the morning. At this time, instead of singing joy to the world, he suggests we should ask for the grace to weep for this world, which does not recognize the path to peace. To weep for those who live for war and have the cynicism to deny it. He concludes, God weeps. Jesus weeps. In thinking about this theme, peace blows in. My mind, being a child of the 60s, turns immediately to Bob Dylan's great gospel anthem, Blowing in the Wind. The young prophet poet asks, how many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it's washed to the sea? Yes, how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, how many times can a man turn his head pretending he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, how many deaths will it take till we know that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. That mysterious wind, does it come from and lead to a meaningless apathy? Or does it blow us toward the path of peace and righteousness? Dylan himself says of the song, "There ain't too much I can say about this song, except the answer is blowing in the wind. It ain't in no book or movie or TV show or discussion group. Man, it's in the wind, and it's blowing in the wind. Too many of these hip people," he says, "are telling me where the answer is. But, oh, I won't believe them. I still say it's in the wind. And just like a restless piece of paper, it's got to come down some. But the only trouble is that no one picks up the answer when it comes down. So not too many people get to see and know. And then it flies away. I still say that some of the biggest criminals are those that turn their heads away when they see wrong and know it's wrong." At the time of his writing, he says, "I'm only 21 years old, and I know that there's been too many. You people over 21, you're older and smarter. Too many who ought to know better have turned their backs on what comes blowing on the wind. Peace blows in, and we can't be bothered. It looks like an old newspaper being whipped around, and we kick it aside or throw it in the trash. It's old news, an ancient word, not relevant for today's reality. How can we make peace and maintain our security at the same time? How can we love our neighbor, let alone the stranger, when we have to look after ourselves? How can we care for creation without altering our self-serving lifestyles? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The question is whether or not we welcome it." Remember how Jesus schools Nicodemus about the wind of the Spirit that blows where it chooses? "You hear the sound of it," he says, "but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." He insists, "You must be born again, Nicodemus." But Nicodemus cannot let go. He isn't ready to dance with the wind. See the day spring? Feel the wind blow? Don't you know God loves creation, loves you so much that God is willing to take on human form to illuminate the path to peace, to show the way to God's beloved community, ordained from the beginning of time? Well, there's quite a variety among the clueless density of Nicodemus, the heartfelt anguish of Pope Francis, and the hopeful exaltation of Zechariah. But friends, the Advent message remains the same for them and for us. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The joy of Zechariah is wisdom for Nicodemus. The joy of Zechariah, the wisdom for Nicodemus, healing for Pope Francis, and hope for us. They all exist that we may know such wisdom, such healing and joy in our own lives and in the world we inhabit. How many roads? How many seas? How many times? How many ears? How many deaths? How many years? How long, O Lord, how long? In our frustration and our crying out, something stirs. The first light of day begins to creep across the horizon. The daily promise of enlightening light is renewed. And as the light glows faintly in the east, the wind begins to blow, caressing the earth with a gentle breath. Peace blows in. If we greet it with open arms, it may yet lead us to redemption for ourselves and indeed for all creation. May it be so. Amen. Christ Jesus invites us to a new vision, to imagine a world of equality and justice where those in power seek to serve the best interests of others. This is not a fantasy, but is God's dream. We are invited to share in making it a reality. Let us now present our offerings.
Thank you.
come in this holy season with the simple gift of life itself. See, you invite us to share from the abundance of our lives so others might be filled with life, with hope, with love, and with grace. Bless these gifts we offer to you so they may be used to share the gospel of wholeness and welcome for all. Amen. And now I invite you to greet one another with the peace of this day. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Peace. She's sleeping. Peace, Roberta. Peace, sir. Peace. Peace, sir. Peace. Thank you. Thank you. God is sending us to be messengers of this holy season. Let us go to share God's grace in the shadowed places of our world. Jesus is sending us to be messengers of the gospel. Let us go to share the good news of justice in every way we treat each person. The Spirit is sending us to be messengers of peace. Let us go to share the gifts of hope and reconciliation which have been placed in our hearts. Amen.